September 26, 2022 is the Watt from Pedro Show. Show. Start off John Coltrane doing Equinox. We're a few days past Equinox, his B-Day. And Ort Smog, I think that's the name of the prog name, with Borite Obsolescence. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I have with me Patrick Shiroishi. Welcome aboard, Patrick.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Absolute. Let's turn your ass up.
Well,
okay, and I got Ort Smog right.
That's it.
Okay. So please bring your earliest. Well, first we got to thank Victoria Shen for the connect.
Hey, yeah. And Derek Gaines as well.
Absolutely, Derek Gaines. Okay, that's right. I think he made the initial fucking. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollections, my mom told me that she would play classical music when I was in her womb.
Whoa, that's an early one.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I trust her with my life, you know, so I'm sure she's telling me the truth.
Now, in the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
There was. When I was growing up, she would take me to all sorts of, like, classes, and I remember there was, like, an early...
No, I mean in the pad.
At my house. Yeah. We had a piano or a keyboard.
Yeah.
And I took lessons when I was, she put me in lessons.
Okay. I got to know about that because most of the guests on the show, whoa. So what was your experience like?
I mean, it was cool. You know, at times when I was a kid, you know, she'd make me practice and I would absolutely hate it, you know, of course.
Do you think she was a good teacher? Because it seems that's usually the problem. It's not the piano or the lessons. It's the teacher.
Yeah, I had a different teacher. I had this woman. I would go to her house. She's a Japanese woman, Miss Kawai, in
Kawai? Mark.
Yeah, Kawai.
Scary. Appropriate for a piano teacher.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. But it was cool?
She was great. Yeah, she was great. I learned a lot, you know. Yeah, I mean, she was great. I was in band, middle school band.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the choir, the marching band, shit like that in school.
Yeah, so I picked up saxophone in fifth grade because I thought it looked super fucking cool and super shiny and all the buttons, you know. I was like, yeah, this is the one.
Alto?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured, because kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And were you in the marching band with that sax?
I was. I was marching band with the sax, and then eventually I did baritone sax in the marching band. And then
Barry.
Yeah, and then the last 2 years I played tuba.
Whoa, some bass clef.
Yeah.
Big mouthpiece, easy in the marching band with that. Now, I heard from friends, like French horn, it's like, oh, goddamn, because of the mouthpiece, you know.
Yeah.
So I heard bone and baritone and tuba sousaphone was, like, more calm that way. But maybe not as much with the weight. That's why they're plastic, huh? So what was the first record you bought with your own money?
The first record I bought.
You know, musical media.
Yeah.
People go at me at that because I'm from... Actually, my first ones were... I did got a 45, but then I joined the Columbia Record Club for a diamond. They were 8-tracks. So I'm not really talking about the medium. Just when you're a kid, you know, you ain't got a lot of money, so I'm curious about the first thing you buy, music-wise.
Yeah, I bought Blink-182 album.
All right. And the first gig you went
to... With the nurse on the cover.
I'm not that familiar. A little bit. I'm San Diego, though, California.
Yeah, San Diego, that's right.
And the bass player's got some power, so yeah. And actually, O produced their first stuff. And O's the guy who comes to my gigs down there all the time. Can I ask you the first gig you went and saw?
Damn, the first gig I went and saw, does like shit like the Hollywood Bowl count?
Yeah, sure.
All right, yeah, my family would take us. There was like symphony shit, and for like July 4th, they would have like I guess like movie scores and then like fireworks at the end.
Yep.
It would probably be that. Yeah.
I saw Miles Davis. Raymond Pettibone took me to see, and Dexter Gordon opened up. So there's all kinds of stuff there. Yeah, you know, trippy outside and maybe not the best sound, but that's a good first gig.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, you know, I definitely appreciate that stuff, and, you know, as a kid, it helps that there's, like, fireworks and explosions. And
of course. Actually, the band's backing up the...
Exactly.
Look, after school, I'm not saying graduate, but in afternoon, garage band, basement band, bedroom band, did you do that?
You know, I always wanted to, but I never found people to play with until, like, my senior year of high school and then well into college. I went to college in Orange County, but I would, like, drive back to L.A. To, like, practice in the garage and shit and then play shows and then drive back. But, yeah, it took me a while. It took me a fucking while.
So these were cats in your neighborhood, but while you're at college, you'd have to come back to meet them.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were you working? Were you blowing the horn?
I was, at that time, I was playing drums.
Wow. Now, how'd you get into drums?
Drums, I just always loved, like, drums, but my parents would never, you know, fucking get me a kit or anything, so I stole a pair of drumsticks from the band room.
Yeah.
And I would play, like, on the back of the couch, and I didn't have MTV, so I taught myself wrong. Like, I don't cross my arms when I play the hi-hat. I kind of just play with my left hand, the hi-hat.
Oh, yeah. Auto-didact. You know?
But in my mind, I was like, this makes the most sense.
Sure.
And then I started playing other shit, but do you remember Dylan Fujioka? He was on your show.
Yeah, great. And he also flowed me the album he did right after that, which was Bitchin'.
Yeah, so we went to high school together, so we would play, and we still play, like, all the time.
Oh, was she one of the cats in the garage when you come back from college?
Yeah, we had a trio called Japanties.
Yeah, the power band names.
Power trio.
Okay, so now what you guys did, like me and D-Boom, we copied records. Did you do that, or did you guys start composing?
I think for that band, we started just composing super slowly, you know?
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
First song I wrote? Fuck. It was probably really bad.
Like mine. Like, I only wrote one song as a kid. It was Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space, and basically was about playing a bass solo and blowing the rest of the band. Yeah, there was issues.
I mean, you are the bass king, so it's kind of a point.
No, but that ain't that bass. That's more like the free bass.
Yeah.
Two S's there.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? But you just start pulling ollies on the skateboard, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got to fall and hit your balls a couple times. Right. And then,
so you would play drums, and what would Daniel play?
Dylan would play guitar.
Dylan,
and
our friend, Daniel Boone.
Yeah.
He played guitar, and you play. Oh, so it'd be like a two-man thing, like what was that band? Flat Duo Jets.
Well, it was us two, and then we had Ryan, and he played bass.
Oh, okay, Power Trio.
Power Trio.
By the way, I missed out on my, I did some gigs with Flipper as a Power Trio, and we're supposed to start this tour Thursday. I blew my knee out, so I can't do any gigs till that gets fixed. Well, it's better than happening on the tour, shit.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
That's true.
You know how life is, you get dealt that. So, to this band, this is Japanties, right? Does Japanties do any gigs or just a practice band?
We just did practice pad. We put out like two EPs and we played like maybe like 10 shows as a band, I think, you know?
How'd you record? Yourself with a 4-track or something?
Yeah. We had like some shitty, like digital shitty recorder. And I think Sorry. Noah, our other great friend from high school and we still play with, he recorded it. And we did that with the practice bass. We try to do it all at the separately to get, like, the best sound.
Whoa. Isolation,
yeah.
And what about, tell me about the first gig.
The first gig? Oh, man, I don't even remember. It might have been, or the first gig of my life that I remember was at this pizza place.
Yeah.
And it was like high school bands, but the guy, the owner, would just be bringing out free pizzas for all the kids to eat. I think he was trying to get people to, like, you know, go to the place after. I think it was Joe's Pizza in Monterey Park. And that was the best gig, because I was like, fuck, we got, like, food?
So it was, you call it a success.
Yeah.
Yeah, righteous. Yeah. Look, I'm going to play some Fubu Sushi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fever show start off that chunk of music with Fubutsushi and Bolted Orange. And then we had Pharoah Sanders, who we lost the day after John Coltrane's B-Day a couple days ago. Live at the East, 1971, Healing Song. And then Nakata with Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt. Why don't you tell us something about these? Well, like all three. Like, so let's start with Ort Smog.
All right, yeah. Ort Smog is a duo I have with Mark Kimbrell. We play together also with Dylan and Noah and Paul I. And,
so not much of a duo. Kind of a five piece, right?
Yeah. But Ort Smog is a duo. We do.
The core. You guys are the core of the duo. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Mark plays fucking loud, so I play through guitar pedals and out of an amp.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's super fun. We're putting out our second record, which turned like a 30-minute song in November. Yeah.
And what about Fubutsushi?
Fubutsushi is a quartet that we made the music all through the internet, through Dropbox.
Oh, like trading files.
Yeah, trading files.
I did a buttload of that during the situation. You know.
Yeah.
And Nakata?
Nakata is a duo with Paco Casanova. He's the guy I first started playing like free improvised music with.
You know, Ricky Murakami, Kafka on the Shore.
I love that book.
Mr. Nakata can talk to Casanova.
Exactly. So that's what the duo's named after.
Okay. Well, Watt sometimes guesses right. Now, let's get back to the story. So you're in college. You got this Japanese band that when you come home. Where does music take you from there?
From there, I start doing, I joined this band Karima, which is like a Zool band. And that kind of is the first time I play saxophone in like a actual setting, like an art rock kind of progressive setting.
Yeah, yeah. When you say Zool band?
Yeah, like do you know that band Magma?
Oh, yeah.
Old yeah, time. So we were like a Magma ripoff band.
With the fake language and...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Inspired, let's have that.
Yeah, yeah, let's say inspired. let's link the ripoff. Inspired. Something inspired.
Like me and D Boone were a Creedence band, but not really.
Exactly.
I just wore the shirts because the singer wore them. I couldn't figure out the bass lines. I wanted D Boone to still like me. So this band, and this is the first time you're playing sax, okay?
Yeah.
And so who are you really looking at? Magma as a did you have sax heroes?
I mean, you know, Coltrane, of course.
Yeah.
Early on, it was. I primarily only play alto.
Yeah. Well, he started on the alto.
Yeah, that's true.
Clean Ed Vincent got him on the tenor, yeah.
That's true. So a lot of, like, Dolphy, like, Ornette, you know, of course. Sam Riffers, Roscoe, you know, yeah. all the cats.
Okay, because when I'm thinking 70s, I'm thinking Tom Scott, you know. That little short-clipped funky kind of thing. Or Maceo Parker, right? That inspired that kind of thing. So that's why I asked. And how'd that go?
It was very eye-opening for me, I think, you know, and being able to hear the saxophone in not a traditional, like, bebop setting.
Yeah.
that was huge for me. And then from there, I started Nakata with the keyboard player from Karima, and we were doing just like free improvised, you know, just piano and saxophone duos.
Yeah.
Some of the early stuff, not the best, not our best work, but I think it was a great jumping off point, and, you know, we were both super vulnerable with each other, and just being able to, like, be in that space, I think, was an important first step into, like, free improvisation for me.
Did you record everything?
We did. We put some up on Bandcamp time ago, you know, when I first started.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still there, but it was good. I think it was important to us to, like, document it. And listen back and be like, all right, this was kind of cool. Like, all right, this kind of sucked, but you know, I still do that practice now, like recording shows when I play with different people for the first time and listening back and trying to study myself and, you know, not repeat the shitty parts and improve on the cool parts.
Good strategy. Were you still in school at this point?
Yes, I still was in school.
I'm just curious, what were you taking in school?
I was studying, music therapy.
Oh, okay. So it was music oriented, so you think it aided and abetted?
Yeah.
And when you got out of school?
I started like this full-time internship in Santa Ana doing music therapy and then coming back to L.A. And
so you never thought of moving to Orange County? A lot of hell rides.
No, I mean, I had an apartment there with a good buddy.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because that's some fucking heavy commute shit.
Yeah, and then I started commuting from L.A., from Rosemead to Santa Ana for like 2 years, and after that I quit. I was like, I can't fucking do this. This is too brutal.
Yeah. Now, explain the music therapy thing. Like, you're helping people?
Yeah, so I primarily worked with children with autism.
Ah, D. Boone volunteered doing some of that. Like, they're all walled off, but somehow the music gets to them, right?
Beautiful, yeah. And, like, we would, you know, we work with kids of all ages, so some of it was, like, working just on, like, language skills, social skills, which is a huge thing for them, you know. They're more severe, like, fine and gross motor skills. And it was awesome. I learned a lot, you know. And I think working with kids is awesome because they have that energy, you know.
Yeah, and also that's another dimension that, kind of, you know, in the background, everybody thinks people get into music just to promote themselves, but you're using it as a helper tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bitching. Beautiful. Yeah. So in a way, you're like composing for the moment, for the situation, right? the hurt person.
Yeah, there are some times where we did that. There's other times where, like, we would, like, have songs we've already made up to kind of get them to socially interact, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that was fun because we kind of were able to make up our own melody and, you know, whatever chord songs on the guitar and then, you know, try and incorporate them.
So people skills is important. So you must be an easy guy to be in a band with.
I like to hope so.
No, you know, I mean, patience, Agamon at least, you know.
Yeah, Agamon, yeah. Yeah,
I can imagine. Because you know how uptight it seems a lot of music, you know, man alone, I'm going to conquer this world, you know, and then in the meantime, I use you little side mice.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really interesting. And but you said after a couple of years, too much commute, it was too heavy.
Yeah, it was too heavy. And then I started working at a music center that my boss from Santa Ana actually opened over here. And actually yesterday was my last day working.
Whoa.
Okay. There I am. Yeah.
So did you get time to do tours?
So that was the decision of, like, quitting the job, I guess. So I've always had a full-time job since college, and I've never really been able to tour at all, save for like a week here. There was one time where Upsilon got to go to Europe for a month, and that was like the longest thing I've ever done.
But you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want to do more of it.
Yeah, so
that's the next full-time job.
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, you know, who knows if it's how fruitful it's going to be, but I'm going to fly to Europe tomorrow.
Wow.
And then going to Chicago for the first time in October, and then a short little New York two-week tour. Yeah, so I'm going to try and, you know, play outside of L.A. as much as I can.
Sure, sure. This part's supposed to come at the end of the show, but fuck it.
fuck it.
Yeah, because, you know, it works out how it works out. I mean, interesting how life, you know, deals you the hands, and you just play them the best way you can.
Exactly.
And so is most of your composition improvised?
I want to say at this point, yeah, like maybe 80% of it is freely improvised, and then 20% is like structured like band stuff, but it was hard. I think it kind of, a lot of it fell apart in the pandemic, you know, because we couldn't meet with people and write.
Of course.
And so a lot of it just became just like, you know, improvising over files on the internet or, you know.
Right.
Just but showing,
you
know,
you get another, shot that way.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, no, I did some stuff like that, but because I had some guests on. Well, fuck, I did almost 300 guests in 14 months of 5 guests a week. Of the radio show. Yeah, music's a lifeline. But some of these cats were free music people, improvised, so they wanted to collaborate. And since they weren't there, they get their file, I pretended that was them in the room.
Yeah.
And then I just go for it, you know? And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Didn't you do something with Brandon Seabrook?
Absolutely. It's called Stovetop. And Mike Pride on the drum. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 26, 2022. And this Wap Pedro Show special guest, Patrick Shiraoshi. Well, time for hour two. September 26, 2022. It's second hour of Wap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show starts second hour with Baez Fogel Shiryoshi with the Hound, the Toad, and the Hare. And I don't know if the title of that thing reflects the members. It's trippy about Toad and Hare because people think Frog and Rabbit.
Yeah.
They are different people. Like Toad can live in the desert, and Hares, I guess, have their babies above ground, but rabbits in the under. And that's why it's called the jackrabbit, right? He's really a fucking hare. Okay, zoologist Watt will continue. And the hound is a type of dog. You know, you got Spritz. I think there's only three or four main types they all come from, and hound is one. Peter Valick after that. Brother Dale turned me on this. Music 22-9-2021. Czech Cat. Or Czechy, I see. Czecha, that's what they say now. No more Czech Republic. That's over. Axe Breaker with United Fronts Against Fascism, and then Watanabe with Gold, Matsumoto, Shiryoshi, and Watanabe. I think this Watanabe was in that fucking book, too.
Maybe.
She was running the library or something. I read it years ago, and it was trippy, but it had a deep impression on me.
I love Murakami. He's my favorite author. Yeah.
He can write, man. He can write. So tell me about this. You know, I go way back with Joe Baeza. I'm even on some Saccharine Tress records.
Oh, yeah.
World Broken, right? Bob Fitz.
No, was that all improvised?
Okay. Bob Fitz, right, the real bass guy, the night before is like, I don't want to do this. So they asked me, and they made me rent a tux. They all wore tuxedos. It was at McCabe's. So we do this all improvised thing. But then it's sort of like the Miles Smiles on the corner thing where you chop it, you know, get all the killer, less of the filler.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of redone, right? But, interesting thing.
That album rules. That album fucking rules.
Well, it's a trippy. And then I think Joe Carducci did the record cover, maybe. I don't know, but I was so afraid. And Joe Baez, amazing story. You know, this cat, I don't know, late 20s when he decides to pick up the guitar because of the movement, right? He's seeing everybody playing. You know, in a couple of years, he's transcribing, you know, Charlie Parker songs.
Yeah.
I know. It's just a trip about things like that. And he's really inspirational. He did the first three tours of my first opera. So he had to reinterpret Nels Klein parts.
Yo.
Right. So tell me about this. How did this come together and the whole situation, this tune?
I mean, I was, you know, I'm a huge fan of Joe's work and Saccharine Tress. It's, you know, they're fucking legendary, you know. He should never have to work for, you know, making music with that band.
Well, work at making music. maybe with him, he don't have to work. It just comes out, but once got to fucking work.
That's true. I don't even, I forget how we came in contact. It might have been through Stephen Bono, or maybe like a show or something. But I asked him to play, and then, Corey Fogle, he's like drummer.
Sure.
Deep LA.
He played with, Carla Bozulich.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on the show. You know, the idea of the drummer just being the idiot in the rear with lots of gas, so fucked up.
It is fucked up.
It really is. Go to Cliff Martinez, the soundtracks he's come up with, you know, and the biggest mistake was Minutemen putting Georgie in the back. And what about Matsumoto, Shiryoshi, whatnot?
That was a trio. I've always had this, I've always wanted to, like, clash, like, East, like, I guess, Japanese instruments with the saxophone, you know, so this was, like, my idea of, like, getting the koto and the shakuhachi and putting in, like, free improvised environment with the saxophone and kind of navigating, you know, and doing weird-ass sounds with you know, traditional instruments.
And their backgrounds, they learned traditional?
Yeah, I believe they're both from Japan.
Issei, okay.
Yeah, they're Issei.
Okay.
How'd
you meet them?
I met just through the scene, you know, playing
See,
in...
See, people, how important scene is? I try to tell you, there is some negative things about scene, but there's some fucking righteous positive things.
Totally.
And especially about clubs. I mean, who made a band at a Arena Rock show? But buttloads of bands at a club.
Yeah.
I want to play this with Dylan here.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
for Pedro Show, that chunk of music star of Patrick Shiryoshi and Dylan Fujioka with Vision of the Void. Chris Bailiff, brand new whistle conversion. Sam Locke Ward, Bob Bucko Jr. out of Iowa with Gimme Justice. Noisuka, 5 a.m. Public Access, 1978. Ray Shin, Life Passes Purchase Date, hopefully. And then Upsilon, A Crew. It's not a crux, right?
A crux.
It is.
It is.
Okay, that's a little Francais there.
We are a crew, though.
You know what? I fucking... pardon all the languages, man. So sorry. But Smells Klein and the little pun rock. See, this is when you take out the K people, you get pun rock with Smells Klein. In fact, I just got an email from him because I was asking him about, I guess these Latvia guys made a little pedal, like the Bigsby whammy bar, but it's a pedal.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I asked him about it. Of course, he has like 50 billion pedals. And you know what his favorite one is, though?
Huh?
Volume.
Volume pedal. I thought you were going to say something like the rat or something.
Oh, volume. But, you know, because I asked him, let's get into improvisation here. You know, I asked him about that when I was first playing with him. And, you know, he says, well, it's really important about listening.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I thought about that a long time. And then I thought, well, what about who goes first?
Yeah.
Well, how's that happen in your world?
I kind of like not being the first. When I was growing up, my idea for like free improv was like playing fucking as many notes as possible, very loud, you know? And as I kind of grown up, it's more been about like listening and like contributing in like a more meaningful way, you know?
Okay.
So I like to kind of not play for like the first 4 minutes and then start playing.
You pick up on what those cats are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like saying, hey, here's what it is now. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Like, fucking look at this.
Yeah,
huh?
Look at that. Yeah. So you think there is an ego thing in the improv scene?
I think it depends on the person, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I think there are people that are driven by that. I think there are people that are not, you know, and there's so many different like improvising worlds and players and even techniques. But that's also what makes it so fucking cool, because you never know what's going to happen, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the bitches. And there's no, well, there is if you're a fucking asshole, but you're not sleepwalking. You're not connecting dots or, you know, what's that called? Paint by number. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to be in the moment. And,
exactly.
Like Nell said, listen. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 26, 2022, to Swap Peter, so special guest, Patrick Shiryoshi. Hold time for hour three. September 26, 2022. It's the third hour of the Swap Peter Show. Thank you.
Thank you. One decision, blink of an eye, could have gone left, took the right. Now I'm committed on this road. One decision, here we go. I like to go before the sun makes me feel like I'm getting it done. In the zone, on the road, my mind's unknown. I'm the flow. One decision. Blink of an eye. One decision. Of my eyes, see him talking, see him smile. When I turn, some look away, others, they stand up straight. I'm a stranger, it's all the same, different places, different names. We are dust, all the same, different faces, different games. Minds unknown, I'm the flow.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Swan, A Miracle's Worth. Then Familia Miranda, brand new cover of Sun Ra, Nuclear War. Of course, they got to call it Guerrero Nuclear. Era Wanda out of Holland, brand new. Sister Take My Hand, Gebedan. This is Mike Patton, and not the Phantom, but the one who played bass in The Middle Class. Speaking of, he was a Santa Ana, he was a Fullerton. Like, it was three Atta brothers in him, and he ended up running the bus system in Orange County. And I was on tour with Mike Baghetta, Steve Hodges, a couple months ago. And he was in Athens, Georgia. He'd moved, you know, married a lady. He's starting a new music thing over there. What a trip, you know. Been many years. He produced some and recorded some Minutemen, like the Joy EP and some songs off Politics of Time. Okay, and then we bow to No Masters. And this is a title here, people. This is almost like double O rubber cement. It is guilt written across our face, or is it our face which we are guilty? Enlighten us to these projects here.
Swan is a group with a bunch of New York friends. Chris Williams on trumpet, Jessica Ackerley on guitar, who lives in Hawaii now, Luke Stewart on bass, and Jason Nasri on drums. Basically, I was a fan of everyone, and me and Jessica kind of concocted this quintet, and it's just a fun fucking hang, you know, everyone fucking rules.
But you mentioned someone ain't playing anymore.
They're all playing. Jessica moved to Hawaii, so she's playing over there and doing, I think, her doctorate, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, we're also playing.
No,
even
I thought you said who's no longer in the unit.
Oh, no, everyone's in the unit still. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, no, I heard this story about Rashid Ali's son, Amin Ali, just quitting bass. I saw him with James Black Ulmer. In Calvin Houston. And yeah, somebody told me, he said, no more. And just, that's it. You know, like Arthur Rimbaud with poetry, right? I'm going to do a couple years, and that's done. Now I'm going to run guns in Abyssinia or something.
Yeah.
Well, some people are like that. And then, you know, Keiko had the oxygen tanks on the stage for Elvin Jones. Something, you know what I mean? Marshall Allen is still touring.
Yo, he's the GOAT, and he still blows his fucking ass off. That shit is crazy to me.
Also, John Gilmore turning down Duke Ellington. Go to play with Sun Ra. I mean, you know, yeah.
That's what's up.
There's billions of ways to do this music trip, people. That's one of the reasons why I've had this show all this time. It's just to show there's so many ways to do this. So Swan came together for this.
Yep.
And now y'all spread out, but maybe you come back together to record more.
We're hopefully, yeah. We recorded in the pandemic, and we played one show last year. So hopefully we're going to be able to tour as a unit or something next year is the plan.
Yeah. And now this, we bow to No Masters. I like that for a band name.
Yeah, that was like a distance, like all Asian quartets. Me, Dylan on drums, Tom Nguyen on drums, and then Tashi Dorji on guitar.
Wow, Dylan knows drums too.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had three drummers.
Or two drummers and then me on saxophone and Tashi on...
Oh, okay. You didn't do drums. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking there was a version of the Boredoms with three drum trap.
That shit was sick.
Yeah, right. Well, didn't they have some gigs with like buttload, like 99 or something?
77.
77. You talking, you know... I tried the crew of Flying Saucer, you know, and we were flamming like motherfuckers with just two drums.
You know what I mean,
because there's a way, like Allman Brothers or Grateful Dead, where they parted out, you know, but there's the Jim Brown way where you play exactly the same thing, and that better be socked tight.
Yeah, the Melvins did that, too. That shit was fucking hard.
Oh, Cody? Big Business?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Dale. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, wow. So you got this thing planned. What is it exactly that you leave for tomorrow?
I'm flying to Berlin. I'm going to do a couple of free improv dates.
So it's like Man Alone?
Saxophone, solo saxophone.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you're not part of an ensemble or anything. There's no project, no band. You're just going over there. First, you do some improvs, and what, you join some other people later?
Yeah, and then I'm going to open for this metal band, Sumac, who are, like, heroes. And so I'm going to be opening for them for, like, 8 days. And we're going from, like, Copenhagen to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And then I fly home.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, so you're just in the West part. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I haven't been to Europe in a long time. This is the first time I'm going as, like, a solo artist.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I hope all my gear makes it and I don't lose anything.
Well, you're bringing what? Just your alto, right?
I'm bringing my alto, and then I'm going to bring some guitar pedals. So I have a thing.
Do you do that? Do you process your sound?
Yeah, so saxophone through guitar pedals and then out of an amp.
And do you also give the guy the straight thing?
No, it's all out. I mean, there's some melodies and stuff, of course, but...
No, what I mean is, like, what's coming out the bell. That all gets processed, or is there a parallel thing going?
No, it's just the processed shit, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that, doing that. You know, I've read these things about some guy turning John Coltrane onto some kind of attachment that he was, you know, near the end there, that he was trying out Viper something, or, you know, I think we're talking
about 67
or something. But he was trying his sax through electronics.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's some kind of purity thing that people get hung up on. And, you know, at the end of the day, coming out of the speakers. I'm sorry.
No. I think the one that he was messing with, it was like in the saxophone, or like molded or melted into it.
Yeah, well, I think the first time he tried it, it was part of the machine. Then there was something that could clamp onto one of his. Yeah, something like that. Not a lot of information on it, but I just like the idea versus these people who think, you know, you can't fuck with, you know, like we all should be playing Nothing Wrong with Mr. Segovia, but, you know, nylon string or cat gut string classical guitar. And Jimmy, you know, is what, bullshit because he used an amplifier and a fuzz box?
Yeah.
No. The rest of the music for this show, both of these are Patrick Shirioshi Delios. So let's bring them.
Bring them.
Thank you.
People, it's deja vu all over again. The last music for this edition. 21 years, 5 months, and whale season, right? Yeah, fuck. Burnt. Patrick Shiryoshi was Once There Was Only Dark. Minus NCE from Omanata, Baltimore. Shiverboard with I've Run My Course. And To Kill a Wind-Up Bird, Patrick Shiryoshi. Yeah, this is all jaded, but another Haruki Murakami reference piece. And we were doing a dry run. That's what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We were terrible. Yeah, it's never wasted. So, but you could go to for the information, P PatrickShiroshi.com. Patrick Shiroshi. His own website. And from there, he's got links to the corporate telephone poles where you staple up your flyers. And what about recording plans?
Recording plans.
Now that people are recording live again and shit.
Yeah, I have a record that is coming out very soon. And then I have one coming out, just solo saxophone, I recorded during the pandemic in an underground parking lot.
Yeah. Where? Rosemead?
Monterey Park.
Monterey Park, all right.
Monterey Park, sure. Where I went to high school and everything. That's coming out in the summer of next year on American Dreams.
Yeah.
Excited for that.
What about future plans to record?
Future plans? Never stop, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to fucking push it.
Even cats who've been working on a record a buttload of years and stuff, they get done, it's all right away you're thinking of the next one.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. And, and the thing about, what's the difference when you bring it with the saxophone and then somebody's got it and they want you to bring the sax to that?
Yeah.
Life's about taking turns.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But they are kind of different experiences, right?
Totally.
And you don't prefer one or the other. They're both fucking righteous, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's different because, you know, you're trying to add to someone's vision or, like, you know, you're doing a collective vision.
Sure.
You can learn a lot from that, but also it's, I think, for me, it's, I also like playing by myself because then you're, like, super fucking vulnerable. You can't hide behind anything, you know, it, like, forces you to push in a different way.
Right, no mysteries.
Yeah.
What about Prac? Because we were talking about John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, right? These guys were doing, they get a jar of honey and go at 10 hours.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do 10 hours, but I'm going I got to get to that point first.
There, I was reading this part in Dr. Simpson's book where they're shopping. Alice has got the cart, you know, and he's got the flute. He's got Eric Dolphy's flute, right? His mom gave it to him. He's playing the flute, you know, while she's in front getting the things, filling the cart, you know. Wouldn't you like to go shopping at this grocery store and there's John Coltrane?
Yeah, I would love that. I would just follow him. Come on, you going shopping? All right. Come on. Ralph? All right, I'll see you there.
And you know, he recorded a lot of his pracs.
Damn.
Yeah, and he would listen back, you know, and check all kinds of stuff. And he really liked that kind of, okay, I got to ask you this, because Farrell was in this too. You know, Uli from Ozomatli wrote me.
Yeah.
He got to jam with Farrell and stuff. And he asked him about jamming with him and Santana. And do you remember that, Farrell? Nope. But anyway, went to his pad once, and he had like 1,000 mouthpieces. Are you into mouthpieces? Yeah, and mouthpieces is a big thing in these John Coltrane bios too. Lewis Porter and Bill Cole and Ashley Kahn, J.C. Thomas. Is there a big thing with the mouthpiece?
You know, I probably have like 20, and I would try and like, when I was trying to find my sound, I went through a bunch, and I stopped because that shit is fucking expensive. You know, it's like $200 or like $500 for like these handmade ones.
Yeah.
And then finding the reed that matches, and then the ligature and shit, and then.
Well, I think in them days.
Oh my god.
I think in them days, the reed, Brother Steve McKay and the Stooges told me they were like, blanks, and you had to, like, there was nothing, you had to cut them, and like these, so they could be really thick, and that's the way these dudes cut them. Like, you, it was like playing James Jamerson's bass, you know, you could stick your arm between the strings of the fretboard.
Yeah, that shit's too crazy for me.
Because they dug in real hard, right? Because it was a little tippy tap shit.
Yeah. If anyone that's listening makes mouthpieces and want to send me some for free, I will fucking play them for sure.
Man, when you get these new records out, can you come back on the show, please, Patrick?
I love to.
Oh, man, it's been beautiful having you aboard. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Safe seas and gambate over there, okay? People, it's been the September 26, 2022, just Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.